Hi, this is Paul Ingram of PainScience.com. It's Tuesday, May 2nd, 2024. Today's post is about patellofemoral joint replacement. This is an excerpt, somewhat pruned, just a little, from a major update to the surgery chapter of my book about patellofemoral joint pain. Kneecap pain, that is, for the uninitiated. And unexplained pain on the front of the knee more generally, often called anterior knee pain. I neglected this subject for years because it's rarely prescribed and mostly not such a great idea. But I suspect a lot of readers have heard about it and wondered about it, and so it's high time that I provided some food for thought about the topic. This is not just for the knee pain folks, however. I hope that this is a good example of how to think about most orthopedic surgeries. For instance, it features a little snarky reaction to Elon Musk's cringe-inducing recent tweet about spinal surgery. And what was wrong about that applies to literally any of the carpentry surgeries, and I could include it in the main surgery chapters of all of my books. And I probably will. So the short version of this is that there's not much of the good to report about this kind of surgery. It's mostly just of the bad and of the ugly. But the details are, as always, interesting. The patellofemoral joint is only one part of the much larger and more complicated knee joint. So, quote-unquote, replacing it is a much smaller operation than a total knee replacement. The incision is way smaller. All the ligaments are left intact, so the risk of complications is lower. The goal is to resurface the end of the femur where it contacts the back of the kneecap, that is, cut away the cartilage, bone, and install a metal part in their place. This tends to be a more durable implant. With total knee replacements, you have to worry about them wearing out before death. So often they are delayed, both because it's always generally a good idea to delay surgeries if you can, but because you want the implant to actually last for the rest of your life. This joint is under less pressure on average, even though the pressure can really spike high underneath the kneecap when you jump or squat. On average, it's quite a bit less load-bearing, less intense pressure on the cartilage than the tibiofemoral joint, the main big knee joint, which has to carry all your weight, everything above the knee. But just because patellofemoral joint replacement is tame relative to replacing other parts of the knee doesn't mean it's a good idea. One reader reported that his surgeon says it is, quote, never done, unquote, and would be considered malpractice. That's probably overstating it a little, but perhaps only a little. Certainly this procedure is performed, but my understanding is that it is rare. I doubt that it should be considered malpractice in every case, but perhaps most of them, certainly at least many. And that's probably what the surgeon meant. It's so rarely a good idea that odds are that it's medically irresponsible in most cases where it's recommended or performed. But of course, it is defended by some professionals, and in the post I link to a paper by some surgeons who defend it. They might not even be wrong. Let's pivot now to something silly. Musk on surgery, that is Elon Musk. The main appeal of any joint replacement, arthroplasty is the general term here, which is Greek for joint molding. The appeal is the idea that you're replacing the bad parts with nice, sturdy titanium or whatever. This has a simplistic appeal to us, which was vividly promoted by Elon Musk in early 2024, mid-April. This was just a couple of weeks ago. He tweeted, "If you're experiencing severe neck/back pain, I recommend looking into a disc replacement. If you do, err on the side of a disc with limited movement. A simple hinge is more likely to be effective than a high-mobility artificial disc that can translate as well as rotate." Oh my God, what an engineer thing to say. You are way out of your lane there, Muskie. Hell, sir, you cannot even see your lane from there. There were many exasperated and irate reactions from experts, hundreds of them, maybe thousands. I scrolled for quite a long time through the responses to the tweet. I saw a lot. But I never saw one that emphasized what I think is the most basic error here, and the reason that this is relevant to any kind of surgery, not just spinal surgery. It's that hopelessly naive assumption that a nice metal part is better than biology. That is simplistic structuralism at its finest. That is the excessive emphasis on pain as a function of structure, biomechanics, crookedness, alignment, balance, treating the body like a machine. That's structuralism, as all my regular readers know. And how many people were exposed to this wisdom of Elon Musk's? The tweet had, as of the time that I took a screenshot of it yesterday, 50.9 million views, almost 51 million, and counting after just a couple of weeks. Mind-boggling and depressing. So let's get back to patellofemoral joint replacement specifically. Are you even replacing the right thing? The main problem with this kind of surgery is that it's not clear that it's even aimed at the actual problem. While it might seem like you are replacing the parts that hurt, and that's got to be good, that's not at all certain. No one can guarantee replacement of all the parts that are actually driving the pain. Even total knee replacements don't replace all the knee's tissues. Total is a bit of a misnomer. In fact, many, many parts are left intact, even in a total knee replacement. And some of those parts of your knee that remain in place can absolutely carry on hurting. But it's more complicated even than that. Even eliminating actual sources of pain does not guarantee success. Consider phantom limb syndrome, where the pain carries on despite the complete absence of the limb, because the brain continues to get nociceptive signals from the disturbed nerves in the stump, which the brain dutifully assumes must have come from the limb that is no longer there. So much for getting rid of the source of pain. It just keeps on coming from the edge of the injury. But that's just one of the reasons why we see so much serious post-surgical pain. It's always more about the physiology than the biomechanics, which is a theme I've been banging on really hard lately. The bigger reason for caution here is just that surgery isn't tidy, and the body often struggles to recover from the insult. Consider how old injuries can hurt many years later, despite being apparently healed. But more sinister, the body may well struggle to recover from the surgical insult for the same reasons there was a problem in the first place. That is, the same physiological vulnerability that resulted in developing the pain originally, and or which made it severe and stubborn enough to become the kind of problem that makes you desperate enough for surgery, that might be the same physiological vulnerability that will make it hard to bounce back from that surgery. For instance, it is plausible that even minor surgeries can trigger a disproportionate and stubborn inflammatory response in some people, which could actually accelerate arthritic degeneration of whatever original tissue remains. In other words, you're basically just adding more trauma to a bad situation, making a bad situation worse. I am well aware that a citation is needed for what I just said, and I have looked for one and failed to find it. But I'm not surprised by that at all, because it's not an easy thing to study, and this is in a field where even the most obviously needed and simple tests of efficacy still haven't been done. Which brings us to our next problem. There's not much science on this, or indeed on any orthopedic surgery. Surprisingly, many orthopedic surgeries have never been tested properly, and it hasn't gone well for many of those that have, demonstrating that much of the apparent benefit of those surgeries was always due to placebo. Although there's a great deal of research on knee replacement, almost none of it is the kind that we actually need to determine how well it actually works. That is, a controlled trial. There's just one trial that I know of to date, and I think I just recently rechecked this, and it really only gets us halfway there. It's just a single comparison of surgery to doing nothing, not a comparison to a sham, which is why it only gets us halfway. Skou et al. Reported in 2015 that total knee replacement got clearly better results, but it also had a lot more complications. So that's roughly a tie between the pros and the cons, which was
that's not an encouraging outcome for people considering that more conventional surgery. It certainly showed that it can help some people, but there was bad news too. But my point here is not whether tibial femoral joint replacement is effective, but that we just don't really know how good it is because it's barely been studied and it hasn't been studied properly. So it's no surprise that a citation is still needed for anything more obscure, such as patellofemoral joint replacement, which is vastly less common than total knee replacement or partial knee replacement of the tibiofemoral joint. And that research will probably still be needed in a decade. I don't expect this to change anytime soon, although proper controlled trials of surgeries have started to happen in the last 10 years. It's a slow process, so there's still many of them missing, and I think that the rarer ones are, it's entirely possible that they will never be studied properly. But even if it takes 10 years, meanwhile, we know this much. This kind of joint replacement is rare. Replacing the kneecap joint is rare because it is widely considered a bit sketchy, even by orthopedic surgeons, which is a profession that is not exactly known for their restraint. It's doubtful that PFJ replacement can address the actual problem in many cases. Maybe it can, but it's doubtful. There are a lot of variables in the patellofemoral joint equation. And finally, we know that even when surgeries are much more clearly justified, they still have significant rates of complications and failures, and often quite possibly for the same biological reasons that made the problem serious enough to consider surgery in the first place. Okay, that is the excerpt from a new excerpt from an old chapter of an old book that I've been updating for, at least 15 years that book has been around. If you'd like to take a look at the book, of course, there's links to it in the web version of the blog post, or just go to painscience.com/PFPS for patellofemoral pain syndrome. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.